know when God plants a seed, man, it can bear some fruit? Hallelujah. Do you know that God is the God of multiplication? Someone say amen. And this isn't only with your finances. Praise the Lord. When we give, we know, hallelujah, that God is a God of multiplication. This is also when it comes to blessing you. He's more than abundant for you. He's a God of more than enough. So anyway, that's another preaching on its own. But you see, I got planted a seed in that retreat. And praise the Lord, speaking of this particular seed, because God, man, amen, we want to receive all the blessings from God. Can I get an amen in this place, please? Amen. What was planted in me, man, my life was changed. And it also inspired me to preach what I'm going to preach on today. Which is great, amen, because I know that what God has for you with these next 30 minutes, it's going to be impactful. Because it is about Jesus, and I went very profound in this, and the title of today is called, Who Am I? And I know as we get to it now, the Spirit of the Lord is going to reveal himself to each and every one of you. And I declare every single person under the sound of my voice and those of you watching me over the internet right now are not going to be the same once this message is done. We are going to see it things from a different perspective. We're at this beautiful thing. I applaud each and every one of you that are here today. Give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. And those of you that are watching me as well online, it's our duty to come and continue to learn and continue to grow. Faith comes by hearing the word. Amen. And today is also a very special day. It's Palm Sunday, Triumphant Sunday. In Spanish, it's called Domingo de Triunfo. Triumphant. It's a day of victory. Obviously, we know every single day is a day of victory. But it's nice to reminisce, and every year we do it. Every year we have Palm Sunday, and we have Resurrecting Sunday, which is next week. By the way, man, if there's a time to invite someone to church, I mean, we should be doing it every week, but we know that the time to, when people that probably don't want to go to church are normally two times out of the year. The first one is Mother's Day. They got to please their mama. And then the second one out of the year is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. That's the day people that never go to church would just want to go and take a selfie at church. Listen, it doesn't matter. No matter how you get in the church, let's be evangelistical next week, guys. Bring someone to church next week. And people would cling to it. It doesn't matter how we get them here. The point is to get them here, and the Spirit of God will do the rest. Someone say amen. So today is Palm Sunday. This represents the day that Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, to Jerusalem, a week before of his resurrection. Palm Sunday. But before we get into all that, which I will, I just want to let you know today is a special day. And then I'm going to get to that now. But before we get to the Palm Sunday and the journey that Jesus took towards him arriving to Jerusalem, I want you to look at the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 16. Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, the disciples respond with various answers that something Jesus is John the Baptist, Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this very moment, Father God. I pray, Lord Jesus, you take total control. Use me as your vessel, as your instrument in the name of Jesus, Lord, so your people can receive what you have for them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And it's interesting how this steered. While we were in the retreat, we were talking about this, and then God planted this seed in me. He's like, tell them, who am I? And this goes both ways. First of all, wait, we can be saying, hey, Jesus, he's the son, he's the savior of the world. Jesus is the one that heals the sick. Jesus is the one that resurrected from the grave. He's my savior. Amen. And this is true. Hallelujah. But who do you say that I am? Do you say Jesus is this because of the perspective of other individuals? Or is it because of your experience that you personally have had with him? Jesus doesn't want you to just, we can't just talk about Jesus based on the opinions of others. How would you really know Jesus that way? I love using the example of you can read about a certain area. For example, maybe your dream one day is to go to Spain. And you have read all the books about Spain. You know all the artifacts, the museums, the historical events that occurred, all of the beautiful archaeological sites. You can tell me way more about Spain than most people I ever know. Maybe you are an encyclopedia on this country. But one thing is to hear about it. Or maybe from what I've told you, because I've been there many times, I can tell you, hey, this is how the food is. This is, you can hear from the opinions, read books, but it's nothing like experiencing it yourself and going yourself. The same works with Jesus. How can I say that I know Jesus based off on the perspective of others or what others have told me? Thank God that we're going to a church, praise the Lord, that we back everything up with the word. But if that wasn't the case, how many times do you really truly base your opinions or something off you? I'm gonna give you an example. I graduated from the University of Miami, amen. I'm a UM grad, hallelujah. I like to brag about that. But I guarantee you one thing. If the time that I had to write essays, when I had to read books, and I had to research certain criteria on certain material, if I were like to go to a Flanagan's and ask someone next to me about my topic and I go based solely off that, I'm going to get a big fat F. Imagine. Because I didn't do my research. I didn't look up the encyclopedia. You got to dig in. The same works with Jesus, his word. He is the word. Jesus, the way you know Jesus is by diving in his word, and then he will begin to reveal himself to you. You got Logos word and you have Rhema word. You have the one that you read and you got the spoken word, the one that becomes life to you. I just can't sit here and say I know Jesus because my grandma told me about him and now I know he died for my sin. Great. But do you really know Jesus? Or, this is going to be a brain twister for some of you. Do you just believe in Jesus or do you know Jesus? Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that the same thing? No. It's not the same thing. There's a difference between believing in Jesus and knowing Jesus. Put John 3:16. And I'm going to show you because I'm going to back it up with biblical scriptures. Can I get an amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. Say hallelujah, someone. Amen. And this is the truth. This is the first step, believing in Jesus. But believing in Jesus is not the same thing as knowing Jesus. Let's dive deep. I believe it's John 7. Give me a second here. John 17:3. There it is. Put it up for me, please. This is once you now believe in Jesus, you surrender your life to Jesus, the first step that the majority of us in here have done. We now believe in Jesus. Now what it says, now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and the Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So one thing is to believe. Look what it says right there. Now this is eternal life, that they know you. You see, this is the daily walk with Jesus. This is one thing is to believe in something. One thing is to know about the person. And by the way, you know, is by your constant daily relationship, intimacy, communion with Jesus. This is a continuous thing. This isn't just, hey, wait, amen. You can't have one without the other. You got to first believe in order for you to know. But you see, the way that you really know is a constant daily intimacy, communion, prayer, fasting, time that you spend with God, reading his word. And a lot of people sometimes get a mistake and I believe in Jesus. But do you know Jesus? Do you know who I am? Who do you say I am? When I ask you who Jesus is, now maybe you're like, oh, wow, this is getting more profound than I actually really thought. Because it's very simple. It's like you marry someone, but you're the first step, but then you never talk to them again. How are you going to know the person you're with? How are you going to know their likes? How are you going to know their dislikes? This is a thing that you need to, this is a relationship. That's why we preach relationship. Because in this relationship, now you know who Jesus is. Once you know who Jesus is, man, then you can start to begin to know who you are in him. Come on, church. Then you can know who you are in him. There's no way that you can truly, sincerely know Jesus if you've never opened your Bible. And this is great that you hear from opinions of us, and we're here, we speak good word, we have good foundation, amen, here in this church, but you just don't get fed once a week. You eat every day, right? The same works with Jesus, the same works with our spirituality, the same works with us. The most important thing is for you to view yourself the way Jesus, the way God views you. Because if not, you won't be able to operate the way God operates. Because it's more than just the day that you die to go to heaven. What about now? We need to conquer right now. We need to establish God's kingdom right now. Amen. Put your hands together. You see, this is a never-ending process. Until the day that you die and we're in paradise with God. Amen. Then we can just sit back and praise the Lord. But we are here now. You're still breathing now. You have purpose now. There's things you need to accomplish now. It's not just that Jesus only died. Hey, yeah, amen. He died, resurrected, hallelujah. But hey, he conquered the grave. It is finished. We have the victory, amen. So why isn't everybody victorious all the time? Because we need to apply it. We need to get to know Jesus. We need to begin to, once you believe in the beginning, the first step, then you get to know him. And through knowing him, he's going to teach you how to believe in the thousands of promises, thousands of blessings that he wants for your life. So then that comes to pass in your daily walk with God. In your daily walk with Christ, in your daily walk, it's a constant thing. It's a process that's never ending. Think about it as if you were in your life is a school or a book that you don't know the ending to until, you know, the ending is the day you were with Christ, the day we're in heaven. But it's a constant escalation. You just don't stay stagnant. It's either, man, you're going backwards or you're going forwards. Speaking of going backwards, quick little parentheses. Guys, don't trip on what's behind you. Literally. Because you can think of that twice. It sounds different in Spanish because tripping is like tripping out. I'm thinking of actually tripping. Like if you're going to fall, don't fall back. Look what it says here. come on, who we are in Christ. Put 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. Look what it says here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Who's in Christ? Someone say amen. The new has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Say amen. So what does this mean when I say don't trip with what's behind you? Stop falling backwards. If you're going to fall, we're going to make a mistake. Hey, guys, land face down. Move forward. Don't trip backwards. The past is gone. Am I preaching to someone? You're supposed to be looking straight, not behind. The old is gone. The new is here. And don't trip if you trip forward. Just get back up, dirt off your shoulders, repent to God. We're not perfect, we know that. But if you're gonna fall, fall forward. Someone say amen. 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 You're a new creation in Christ. You shouldn't even be looking in the back. You shouldn't ever fall backwards. You fall forwards. Hey, we make mistakes. You understood that analogy, right? Good. Don't fall backwards. We're new creations in Christ. I have a bunch of Bible verses here. I have a lot of information here. I won't have time to go through all of it, but it's okay because I'm going to go through a lot of it. And I'm not going to get into too much detail, but I am going to read you some verses that I want you, this is the word of God that I'm going to be speaking to you. I want you to realize who you are in Christ. Because now I'm a new creation, but what's this new creation? You see, you're going to find this out by reading the word. I'm going to give you an overall broad perspective of what the Bible says who you are. But without you having that alone time with God, you're not going to receive it the same. You need to spend time with Jesus so you get to know who he is. Then you're going to get to know who you are. And then you're going to get to know how to operate in this world and be victorious. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. Now I'm going to get into some more details. Who you are. John 3:3 says, I am loved. When I say I'm talking about you, pay attention. I am loved. I am accepted. I am a child of God. I am joint heir with Jesus, sharing his inheritance with him. Guys, you are a son, a daughter of a king. Keep listening to this. This is just the word of God. Are you receiving it? Someone say amen. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am united with God and in one spirit with him. It continues to say, I am a temple of God. His spirit lives in me. Hallelujah. I am a member of Christ's body. You are a member of Christ's body. I am redeemed and forgiven. I am complete in Jesus Christ. I'm free from condemnation. I'm a new creation. I am chosen by God. Are you guys understanding these things? You are seated in heavenly places with Christ, and you have direct access now through Jesus Christ to God. You are from above, man. You are chosen to bear fruit. Later on, I'm going to give all of these different verses. You guys should be reading this, man, on the daily. Speak it to yourselves. Speak it to your future. It's good to know who you are. Because the enemy, man, if you don't know who you are in big trouble in this life. Because the enemy, what he wants to do is confuse people. Have people say, hey, you're already a Christian. You don't need to read the Bible. You need to come to church. Because then what happens is when you're faced with an obstacle or a situation, you don't know what armor you have. You don't know how to use it. You have an artillery filled with the promises of God to conquer. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Do you know that you and God are one? Everything, man, you got to understand that when you in Christ, you guys, once you have been adopted, the day that you gave your life, surrendered your life, you live in Christ and Christ is within you. You guys are one. Hallelujah. Today is Palm Sunday. Jesus today was on his way to fulfill the promise, to fulfill his purpose. Hallelujah. How many of you know that Jesus, while he was on his way, well, Jesus is Jesus, he's all knowing. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him before it happened. He's God. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He knew the pain he was going to endure. But you know what? I want you to look at it as if this is the ultimate seed, by the way. What Jesus did is the ultimate seed. What he did, his sacrifice, resurrecting from the grave. You see, that was the fruit that he bore, what came out. He planted this seed, and now we are free indeed, hallelujah, for those that believe in him. For the what he planted, what was sown, his life for you. Everything I say is a seed. But in Jesus' journey, in Jesus' process, I look at the journey as a process. On his way to Jerusalem, he knew what he was going to endure. But you know what? The pain that he I'm sure he already knew that he was, man, he's had to die. A price had to be paid. A debt had to be paid. That's why the Bible says he's our substitute. On his way to Jerusalem, man, he knew what he was going to bear, what he was going to have to go through. But you know what? Jesus saw the victory much more than the pain. How many times in life, man, I want you guys to picture it as if all of us were, if it was like a woman being pregnant. That seed. Think of your blessing like that, okay? And that there's a journey, there's a process that goes there. Are you gonna abort your journey? Are you gonna abort the seed, the promise, the blessing that God has for your life? Or are you gonna, regardless of what happens, regardless of the situation, are you gonna give birth to what God has for you? Can someone say amen? Does it matter how much pain it is, or does the promise surpass whatever obstacle is in your way? Are you gonna be like the 10 spies or the 2, Caleb and Joshua? When the Israelites, God promised them a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's your promise. You can't allow the enemy or any obstacle or anything to get in your way from it. Or are you gonna be one that's a coward and is gonna throw the towel when God says, hey man, this is for you? One thing is your journey to Jerusalem. What's your Jerusalem? What's your promised land? And when you get there, are you going to fulfill it, or are you going to be a coward? Because you see, Jesus could have showed up to Jerusalem and a couple days before said, nah, I'm out. I don't want to do this. Some of us sometimes get so close to giving birth to our promises, to receiving the blessing that God has for our lives, but then we throw the towel right before. I'm here this morning to tell you, man, don't give up. What God has for you, your Jerusalem, man, you step into there walking knowing that, man, my God will never leave me nor forsake me. I know who I am in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Me and God are one. I am in him. We are one. How is it that God was no man that he needs to abandon you? He won't leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I'm here today, man, to tell you, don't be a coward. Don't allow the obstacles or the enemies or maybe the pain you may endure going through it. Look, the pain that Jesus endured, we don't ever have to go through again. We don't ever have to go through. That's what Jesus did, amen.
But there's gonna be moments in life, in this process, in this journey, that man, giving birth hurts. But guess what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you may, man, you, if you think that everything is just gonna be given to you, you are mistaken. That's a lie from the devil. There is times where God can just bless you, amen. But the majority of the time in this life, you need to believe. Because if everything's given to you, how would you activate your faith in God if you have nothing to believe for? I know I'm preaching to someone this morning. How can you act? How can you? We'll never be able to please the Father because we cannot please God without faith. It's impossible to please God. And the only way you can use your faith is if you have something to believe for. Hallelujah. Listen, this is a wake-up call for some. For others, it's reassuring. Those of you watching me online, hallelujah. Because the best is yet to come for God's people, but those that believe. And I refuse to let any obstacle come against me, come against my family. I don't care what sickness, I don't care what debt you're in, I don't care what financial struggles you're in, I don't care what familial problems you have. God promises me and my house will serve the Lord. Do you believe that? God promises that he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I challenge you today to truly, man, observe your hearts. And if there is someone in here, someone that's watching me online, and I'll be done with this. If there's doubt, man, that's not of God. We're not called to doubt. We're called to believe. Faith over fear. Fear's not of God. And that I can promise you that. And you get to choose who you want to be, honestly, in this life. And there's times that, hey, look, what was done for us that we're sure of, that's a gift from God, is what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. Now we know this part. That's the first step. But now we got to get to know God in order for you to know who you are, in order for, then after you know who you are, then you can learn how to operate. And then once you learn how to operate, then you're unstoppable. Because then you know, the devil would try to deceive you, try to steal from you, try to kill you and destroy you. We know that. But when you're planted, when you know the armor that you have, what God has given you, the blessing, man, the promises that God has for your life, if God put it there, I don't care what giants are in the promised land. Once I get there, I'm going to slay them. Because my God promised me the land that flows with milk and honey. My God promised me that Jerusalem is where. Come on, church, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who do you say I am? Now you're going to have a little bit more of an understanding now after today, right? We can't give up. We can't give in. There's too much at stake, too much. It's not, you can't, we just can't sit back and just watch life pass you by. You're either in or you're out. You're either with me or you're against me. I want to be on God's team. I want to know how to operate in the supernatural because, man, that's the God that we serve. We got to stop looking things with our carnal eyes and look at things with our spiritual ones. Because God wants us to be more than conquerors, more than overcomers, more than abundant. He wants you to flow, man, and not have to worry about not lacking anything. And you may be going through a really rough time this morning. I don't know what your personal situations are, but I know that there's nothing too big or too strong that the blood of Jesus can't, man, overrule. Plead the blood. The blood. Hallelujah. You know what pact that covenant is? When something tries to come against you, man, you plead the blood. You are marked. You are marked by God. You can do all things through Christ.
And I believe this day today, it has awakened us in a different manner, in a different mindset, to understand the difference between the first man. We have to believe and we gotta know who he is. We have to know who Jesus is. Spend time with God. Continue to feed yourselves. And when the time, man, it's gonna be a constant. Once you're in the first grade, you gotta go to second, third, fourth, fifth. It's a constant escalation process. Your life is a process. If you're breathing, you have purpose. It's a process. You know what pleases God? The process. Well, why? Well, it could either please him, or it could either be your best friend or your worst enemy, the process. Let me tell you why. Because if you don't believe, then you won't get what you're believing for. You throw the towel, then you won't achieve what you're believing for. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in the process, you know that God has given you this promise, this desire, this seed of whatever it is you're believing for. You continue to believe it. That process, man, God is pleased with that process, because you're trusting in God, knowing that you're going to receive it even though you don't see it. Hallelujah. I'm here to give you, man, some hope. The Lord has brought me here today to tell you online, don't throw the towel. Don't give up. Don't be a coward. Give yourselves a hand of, come on.